Upon my mind's reviving, it had closed on hearing the lament of those two kindred, since sorrow had confounded me completely. I see new sufferings, new sufferers surrounding me on every side, wherever I move or turn about or set my eyes. I am in the third circle, filled with cold, unending, heavy, and accursed rain. Its measure and its kind are never changed. Gross hailstones, water grid, filth, and snow come streaking down across the shattered air. The earth, as it receives that shower, stinks. Over the souls of those submerged beneath that mess is an outlandish, vicious beast. His three throats barking dog-like. Cerberus. His eyes are blood red, greasy black his beard, his belly bulges, and his hands are claws. His talons tear and flay and rend the shades. That downpour makes the sinners howl like dogs. They use one of their sides to scream the other. Those miserable wretches turn and turn. When Cerberus, the great worm, noticed us, he opened wide his mouth, showed us his fangs. There was no part of him that did not twitch. My guide opened his hands to their full span, plucked up some earth, and with his fists filled full, he hurled it straight into those famished jaws. Just as a dog that barks with greedy hunger will then fall quiet when he gnaws his food, intent on straining hard to cram it in, so were the filthy faces of the demon Cerberus transformed. After he'd stunned the spirits so, they wished that they were deaf. We walked across the shades on whom there thuds that heavy rain, and set our souls upon the empty images that seemed like persons. And all those spirits lay upon the ground, except for one who sat erect as soon as he caught sight of us in front of him. O you who are conducted through this hell, he said to me, recall me if you can, for you, before I was unmade, were made. And I to him, it is perhaps your anguish that snatches you out of my memory, so that it seems that I have never seen you. But tell me who you are, you who are set in such a dismal place, such punishment. If other pains are more, none is more disgusting. And he to me, your city, one so full of envy that its sack has always spilled, that city held me in the sunlit life. The name you citizens gave me was Chiacco, and for the damning sin of gluttony, as you can see, I languish in the rain. And I, a wretched soul, am not alone, for all of these have this same penalty for the same sin. And he said nothing more. I answered him, Chaco, your suffering so waits on me that I am forced to weep. But tell me, if you know, what end awaits the citizens of that divided city? Is any just man there? Tell me the reason why it has been assailed by so much schism. And he to me, after long controversy, they'll come to blood. The party of the woods will chase the other out with much offense. But then within three suns they too must fall, at which every other party will prevail, using the power of one who tacks his sails. This party will hold high its head for long and heap great weights upon its enemies, however much they weep indignantly. Two men are just, but no one listens to them. Three sparks that set on fire every heart are envy, pride, and avariciousness. With this, his words inciting tears were done, and I to him, I would learn more from you. I ask you for a gift of further speech. Tegaio, Farinata, men so worthy, Arigio Mosco, Jacopo Restitucci, and all the rest whose minds bent toward the good, do tell me where they are and let me meet them. For my great longing drives me on to learn if heaven sweetens or hell pours in stuff. And he, they are among the blackest souls. A different sin has dragged them to the bottom. If you descend so low, there you can see them. But when you have returned to the sweet world, I pray, recall me to men's memory. I say no more to you. Answer no more. Then his gaze grew twisted and awry, and he looked at me a while, and bent his head. He fell as low as all his blind companions. And my guide said to me, He'll rise no more until the blast of the angelic trumpet upon the coming of the hostile judge. Each one shall see his sorry tomb again, and once again take on his flesh and form, and hear what shall resound eternally. So did we pass across that squalid mixture of shadows and of rain. Our steps slowed down, talking a while about the life to come. At which I said, "And after the great sentence, O Master, will these torments grow or else be less, or will they be just as intense?" And he to me, "Remember now your science, which says that when a thing has more perfection, so much the greater in it is its pain or pleasure. Though these accursed sinners never shall attain the true perfection, yet they can expect to be more perfect than now." We took the circling way traced by that road. We said much more than I can here recount. We reached the point that marks the downward slope. Here we found Plutus, the great enemy.